dòng con thế giới.
Good afternoon and welcome to Talk Travel with me, Annie O'Reilly. I'm flying solo today, but really nice to have your company today on the local sound of Dublin City 103.2 FM. I am really delighted to welcome into studio Maria Golpe, Marketing Manager of Camino Ways, located here in Dublin. And we will be talking Camino on the show today. So relax, sit back, dream of the Camino. Call us on 865 8020 or text us on 087 977 1032 or email the show at talktravelondublincityfm.ie. Well, buen Camino, Maria Golpe. I got the name right, didn't I?
Very right.
Thank you very much. She was saying off air, Maria was saying, I'll call you O'Reilly if you call me Golpe.
Exactly.
So we are firm friends now. I have recently returned from a magnificent trip organised by Camino Ways here in Dublin. We were 30 years married, my husband and I, and Tom took me out for coffee one day and said, O'Reilly, I've got an idea. He said, how about walking the Camino to mark the anniversary? I said, love it. He nearly fell off the chair. And then I said, we'll go with Camino Ways. So we rang Maria, we dealt with you and Claire, and you organised our experience. I can only call it one of the nicest anniversaries both of us have ever had. And we decided to take it gently, walk 3 days, a day for each decade, which I thought kind of rhymed. And we started with our first visit down to your office in Angel Street. Well, yeah. It's the corner of Angel and upstairs. Yeah,
it's called Redmond's Hill.
Redmond's Hill, yeah.
Not many people know that address.
I know. And you walk into the office and there's an enormous map of Spain. Now, we are going to Galicia, which Maria's from.
Yes, I am.
So the staff were so helpful. So our journey began by saying, well, what do you want from this? How many days? So we knew we wanted 3 days. So, and we knew we wanted the experience of walking into Santiago de Compostela. So we will explain what Santiago, it is the way of St. James. Compostela means field of stars, which I think is so beautiful. And there's a lovely story. We'll tell you about that later. So I hope we're painting the picture and you're thinking about packing your rucksack, putting your runners on. We'll talk about prevention, what to bring. But the most important thing we felt was, and this is where Claire was fantastic, what do you want from this? Where would you like
exactly.
to begin?
Exactly, because most people have this idea that the Camino de Santiago is a long trek from the Pyrenees all the way to Galicia. But the reality is that the beauty of the Camino is that you can start anywhere you like. If you don't have a whole month, if you only have a week, then you can adapt your walk to that week. If you have 2 weeks, then great, you can walk for 2 weeks. So you can adapt the Camino to yourself, you know. There's no one Camino. In fact, there's lots of many routes as well. Most people seem to associate it with what is called the French Way, that starts in Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port in the Pyrenees.
Pyrenees, yes, yes.
And it's also is the route that is the most famous, is the one featured in The Way, the movie with Martin Sheen,
yes.
It's a wonderful
yes.
movie. And but the reality is that there are loads of routes, loads of kilometers of Camino, both in France, in Portugal, in Spain. So then there's a Camino for everybody. And I suppose for us, if you're a beginner, if it's your first time on the Camino, we tend to recommend that you finish in Santiago and that you follow one of the most popular routes, because that's where you'd feel the pilgrim buzz and where you'll meet people. Well, you know, that social experience of the Camino, you'll find it along the French Way more so than in the other ones. But then there's lots of people who come back then year after year to do different parts, to do different routes, or to even just start in one route 1 year and then do just a stretch each year and then get to Santiago eventually, maybe a year, 2 years, three years down the line.
You're so right, because when you board the plane, I mean, I think our listeners as well, it's so accessible. 1 hour and 40 minutes, Aer Lingus. And flying into the airport, it's like flying into Ireland. It's like, to me, it reminds me of a town, say Kilkenny or somewhere in the middle, and the green all around, this beautiful modern building, but the plane is full of walkers. So you get on,
it's full
of walkers. I was looking around and this lady was going, is this your first time? I probably had that look about me. I was kind of twitching. I didn't have my walking boots on. They were, actually, we'll talk shoes later, but
it's the Camino
them.
Club.
It's the Camino
in
Club.
In Aer Lingus.
In Aer Lingus. And the way everybody, there was very, very few who weren't walkers, and you saw the poles. It reminded me of going skiing. When you go skiing at Christmas or in Easter, the plane, there was a buzz and anticipation. And I met this lovely lady and she was saying, is this your first time? Loads of tips. And there was this, Camino Club. So flying into the airport, it's so accessible. 1 hour 40.
Yeah, and Aer Lingus, actually, they fly direct from Dublin from April then till October. But for the months of July and August, they usually have three flights a week. But for July and August, they have four flights a week.
Oh, that's
they have
good
one
to know.
On Wednesys as well. Yeah. Because I suppose it is very popular.
Yeah. So you begin your journey by deciding where. And there's a new way as well, the Italian way. How do you call it? It's not new, but it's...
The Via Francigena.
Via Francigena. And you're just back. You were doing some nice video work.
Yeah, we were doing some video. I did the Camino with Leslie from Unravel Travel here in Tuscany. We covered the last five sections of the Via Francigena into Rome. Just to have some content, some visual content for the website and to share with our customers in Ireland. So most people have done the Camino and they want to get an idea of the Via Francigena is, which I suppose we can call it the Camino to Rome. It is also a medieval pilgrimage as well. So it's not something manufactured recently or anything.
Yeah.
But the only thing is that it does get much less people than the Camino. The Camino is just amazing, the amount of people that do it every year, both finishing in Santiago or any other route. The Via Francigena is something that is starting to get known now, and we do recommend it for people, but most people tend to do it after they've done part of the Camino. It tends to be more like a secondary option. Well, it's fantastic. I was in Tuscany, Lazio, into Rome, the Apennine Mountains.
Beautiful,
it's gorgeous, amazing.
I think you hit on something there. The amount of people who are now walking the Camino, I think in the research there's 100,000 pilgrims a year. Would that be right? More or less?
There'll be more than that, actually.
Really?
Last year, like, I have the numbers here from the Pilgrims Office.
Yes. Oh, that's very... We'll talk about that.
They keep track of all the Compostela certificates they issue every year, which means that you have at least walked the last 100 of any
that's
of the
correct.
Routes. So last year in 2013 alone, there was 215,000 issued. And that means that's just the people who finished in Santiago and who applied for the Compostela.
That's extraordinary.
Then it doesn't take into account the people who do sections in France or in Portugal, or people who walk to Santiago but they don't complete 100K.
Sure.
So it's thousands. It's difficult to know the exact number.
But it's busy. And that route is, we obviously started on the 1st of June. And you'd meet a few people on the way, but I was getting the feeling this was lovely. The amount of people we were just meeting. Very nice. I couldn't even say packed, but you'd turn a corner, you'd go through a little forest glade with a river and two little wooden benches, and then you'd see ahead somebody. And you kind of sensed too when people wanted to walk on their own. And then some days you just might link up with somebody for a little walk, maybe half an hour, 2 hours of the walk, and then you'd just drift on again. So there's a sort of an etiquette, I felt, respect, not etiquette, where you'd meet somebody and you'd say, oh, you know, you just know by them that they
didn't... Are you up for a chat?
You up for a chat? Or do you keep the head down? Are they struggling? But just to take the listeners back,
always pretend you're Spanish or something.
I could. Well, I don't speak English.
No entiendo nada.
No entiendo nada. They thought I was Spanish at one stage, but my accent was good, but unfortunately my vocabulary. And that was one thing. A little bit of Spanish is helpful. It would be, because...
It is.
Isn't it? There's not a lot of... hablé inglés. No, pardon, no. But you get through. I mean, certainly when you get into Santiago, it's very different. But we started our journey. We flew in. We were picked up by the coach. Perfect, beautiful bus and luggage put on board. And we stopped in Melida. I'm just looking at Maria here. Melida, I'm saying
yeah,
it
Melida,
right.
Melida, yeah,
Melida. And that was our kind of first, and we walked into this wonderful, now I have the name here. Can you remember the name of where I was staying?
Casa de los Omoza.
Casa de los Omoza.
And it's this very homely farmhouse.
And this lady came out and she said, welcome, or I can't say that in Spanish, but she was gesturing welcome, and we clicked, and she showed us to our room, and it was like entering someone's home. Beautiful, wonderfully, I slept the best night's sleep ever, and I was kind of nervous, and I remember writing down, I did journal, feeling anxious. Tomorrow's the big day. But she was so lovely, and it was the night of her anniversary, the day, so she came out, our daughters had phoned with a bottle of cava, and the whole everyone got involved, and it was a beautiful gesture. So waking up for me the next morning, and it's all about preparation, because Camino Ways sent out a lovely list of things to do and things to bring, which really, really was helpful.
It includes preparation.
It includes preparation. So must-haves. Now, obviously, I just run through them quickly. You know, obviously, walking shoes, socks, hiking pants, you know, sunglasses, toiletries, water, a plastic bag, luggage. And, you know, luggage, not more than 20k per person, which is, you know, well...
No, exactly.
It's perfect.
We work with different guest houses. Like, the idea that... I suppose the classic Camino that some people do is staying in hostels, in the public hostels. The problem with the hostels is that, okay, well, you might be sharing a dorm, for starters, and which is, you know, it's not everybody's cup of tea.
No, it's not everyone's cup of tea, yeah.
But it is very popular among, like, university students and the younger pilgrims, let's say. And there's a little bit of partying going around probably as well. And so we work with small guest houses and I suppose the equivalent of B&Bs, small family-run hotels. And what we organise is, okay, we pre-book the accommodation so you don't have to be walking and worrying, or am I going to have somewhere to stay tonight, or am I going to have to keep walking another 10K when I'm ready to stop? And then the other service that we organise for pilgrims is to get their luggage moved from one hotel to the next. Yeah. So you only have to take your day pack with a bit of water, a little bit of a picnic if you're walking in an area that is that doesn't have cafes. But the walking notes should be a good indication to
the walking notes saved our lives
if there is something.
Yeah. So you really wake up feeling. I woke up feeling very prepared, very cared for. The luggage was gone. We left it out at reception and it was gone. And the gentleman of the house was so sweet. He gave us a lift just to the beginning. It was only 5-10 minutes in the car, but just so that we wouldn't get lost. And he said, you know, Buen Camino. And there was the first one. And the first time I saw the yellow arrow. So the route is signposted really, really well signposted.
It is, especially the French route, so-called French route.
Yeah.
It is very well signposted. We send the walking notes for support, but in reality, you don't really need them, especially in the last 100K. There's lots of pilgrims, it's very well marked.
Yeah. Follow that hat, I kept saying. Yeah. Follow that backpack.
And then even in the small little hamlets, okay, you might not speak Spanish or Gallego, which
is
probably the spoken language in the hamlets. But they're all used to pilgrims. So
they are.
Okay, sign language is always like a very international way of communication.
Yeah. Chocolate, please. Chocolate on the Camino was liquid gold. I mean,
was it
squares of dark chocolate kept me going. Yeah, no, I met a lovely American. He said, hey, share this bar, sister. So he gave us half the bar because we were looking a bit tired. Oh, this was on the first day. Now, I just wanted two tips about the shoes, and I think our listeners would enjoy this. I went for an ASIC walking runner, and so did Tom. Had to wear a well-worn pair of, you know, you don't need the big hiking boots for what we did. The other tip I got from a friend was Vaseline on the feet. It saved our lives. I can see Aoife nodding in the sandbox. Vaseline every morning and the 100,000 mile socks. So Vaseline on the feet, socks on, 1,000 mile socks and the runners. And that was it. I didn't care what I was wearing on top, but layers were good. We were so, so lucky with the weather. We had 3 days of sunshine, got into Santiago, and then typical Ireland weather. It's Galicia and Ireland are very similar. We had some rain.
The Atlantic. The beauty of the Atlantic.
And it was fine, but we had the best weather. And there's little shops in the hamlet, so if you get a rain poncho was a great tip. I bought a rain poncho, I think it was €6 or something. And I only needed it twice. But it was wonderful to have because it covered your pack, it covered and it rolled up. But the Vaseline on the feet was number one. And that was something. And we used, the antihistamines and then the blister plasters. And I remember the night before we started, we were sitting in the farmhouse in Melida, outside Melida, and there was five pairs of flip-flops and 5 feet covered with plasters. I was going, oh God, oh God. Yeah, so we got talking to them. They were American and they had come down from another journey, but they, you know, they didn't prepare their feet properly. So that was something I thought was, you know, kind of interesting to know. So setting off, route really, really well mapped, and you take your time, and the walking notes really served us well.
Yeah, it is very important that you have to follow your own pace as well. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no point in trying to keep up with the guys in front of you. Mm-hmm. You have to take your time.
Take your time.
You know, if you're covering 20K a day, it's not, you know, everybody can do it. Mm. It's just that not everybody can do it in 3 hours.
Exactly.
So just take your time. If it's hot during the middle of the day, mm-hmm. lunchtime, take a break, because absolutely. That's no good for anybody to be walking in the scorching sunshine.
In the sunshine.
If you're lucky to get it in Galicia.
Well, we did, and our hats saved our life. We had 2 hats on. I mean, obviously, but the hats, do not walk without a hat. We're going to take a break for some music to get us in the mood of what we experienced. Listen to this. I hope you enjoy it. It's from Galicia.
Llueve en Santiago, los días transcurren promisos, desde su despertar hasta su sombra, solo que a veces no existe. Pasa la luna en Santiago, cantando muy quedo romances de amor. Luego la noche en sus secos nos cuela de ronda por todo el balcón. Y allá en el templo del apóstol santo, una niña llora ante su patrón, porque la capa del turno que adora no lleva la cinta que ella le bordó. Porque la capa del turno que adora no lleva la cinta que ella le bordó. Cuando la luna te dé serenata, no te enamores con porcelana, que cada cinta que adorna su capa es el trocito de corazón. Ay, traira, la, 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 la. No te enamores. Gloria que dejan desierta la universidad. Y allá en el templo del apóstol santo, con el estudiante hoy se va a casar. La galleguiña melosa, melosa, que oyendo esta copla ya no llorará. La galleguiña melosa, melosa, que oyendo esta copla ya no llorará. Cuando la luna te dé serenata, no te enamores con Compostelana, que cada cinta que adorna su capa es un trocito de corazón. Ay, trai, la, 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 la. No te enamores con Compostelana y deja la luna pasar con su trai, la, la.
That was wonderful, wasn't it? That is called, Maria and I were dancing away here in the studio. That's a tuna, which is associated with the University of Santiago. It's like each a troubadour. And when we arrived in the night, that evening, we had a walk around Santiago, beautiful, beautiful medieval town, city. And there was an arch and this troubadour were playing underneath the tuna and we just bought the CD. But isn't it beautiful?
Yeah, it's very traditional, linked to universities in Spain.
Yeah.
Like Salamanca, they have tuna as well.
Tuna as well.
And Santiago has one of the oldest universities in Europe. It's a university town.
It's a university. It is, and indeed it's a UNESCO World Heritage Site, I think, going back to 2000. So our walk went wonderfully. It was like a walking meditation. We met beautiful people on the way and had lots of interesting stories which we gathered. We arrived, that feeling of arriving in, seeing the spire of the cathedral, it's a really personal feeling. Because one question I'd put to listeners, this isn't, it is a walking holiday, but it's a pilgrimage. So what's the difference between a walking holiday and a pilgrimage? So it's your personal Camino. There's no judgment on it. Just go and see what happens, because something happens.
Yeah, it has a spiritual aspect to it. Some people ask us, oh, but I'm not religious, should I do the Camino anyway? Like, personally, I'm not a religious person either. But I do think that the Camino de Santiago has a very spiritual element. And we can all be spiritual without being necessarily religious.
Yes.
It is a journey heading west. So the jury's still out if it's really St. James that is buried there under the cathedral, or if it is like a journey west, back dating back to pagan times. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the way actually finishes down in the coast, in the Atlantic coast in Finisterre.
That's where the lighthouse is, yes.
Where the lighthouse is. Yes. So that's where the Romans thought was the end of the world. Mm-hmm. And that's where the sun set, the ocean swallowed the sun. Obviously these cults to sunlight and stuff. So it's a very special place to be, like, for example, midsummer, we just passed it.
Yes.
So it is a religious experience, but not necessarily. It is a spiritual, it is a pagan experience as well. And it is just a fantastic journey.
It's a wonderful journey. And arriving in, and the sense of personal achievement, whether you walk 3 days, 3 months, 3, 6 weeks, the feeling of walking into the cathedral for the first time, and the faces on all the other pilgrims, the queue outside the passport. Now, I'm sure the listeners know
the pilgrim's office.
The pilgrim's office. You know, each village and town you go to, you get your pilgrim's passport, you get your stamp, and you have to walk 100K to get that. But there's a wonderful queue outside it. Sense of achievement. It was like getting a stamp. You know, it reminded me of, oh, I don't know. It was very special looking at the faces, because people go straight there. We went in, we checked into this beautiful parador. It was a treat. Right next door, and there's a lovely history about that parador, and it's right beside the cathedral.
Yeah, the parador actually was built, I think, in the 15th.
It was 15th century.
It takes the name after the Catholic king and queen
Isabella and Ferdinand.
They were controversial, but there you go. But they built this parador to welcome pilgrims. So the parador has been operating and welcoming pilgrims since then. It hasn't really been used for anything else. They used to call it hospitals.
It was a hospital, wasn't it, originally?
Yeah,
it was like an independent city within Santiago, because it was under Isabel's wing, if you like.
The idea of hospital was slightly different. It was more linked to hospitality.
Exactly.
So it fed pilgrims, I suppose, if they had any ailments, they sort of help them get back to health.
But it has the most beautiful architecture, and you're staying in this piece of history, which I find lovely. And this guided tours, the food was magnificent. We went down and had a celebratory dinner, and the food in the fish in Galicia, we had some turbot that night, but it's famous for its pulpo,
octopus.
I had some octopus. I closed my eyes. It was very lovely. I was going, oh gosh.
Well, it's not
delicious.
It's not for everybody, but it was you either love it or you hate it.
I liked it.
But it is a very classic Galician dish.
It is. And then there's wonderful local cheeses, and you have your ham of bellota.
Bellota,
which is the Iberico ham. The pigs are fed on acorns, which gives it a beautiful flavour. But there's so many things to do in Santiago as well, isn't there, when you arrive?
Yeah, you can take a fantastic tour of the city. The tourist office in Santiago have amazing tours. You can take a tour of the rooftop of the cathedral as well, for a different perspective.
What a view.
You shouldn't miss the food market. The food market has wonderful fish and very fancy new bars, like trendy, for a little glass of wine and a little pincho.
And pincho tapas everywhere. Yeah. Beautiful tapas.
But it's a wonderful place where you find a very interesting mix of people. You find the old ladies selling their wares from around the villages around Santiago. But you also find these new trendy bars that mix contemporary cuisine with traditional Galician recipes. So it's probably one of my favorite parts in Santiago. And then there's the Alameda Park. There's a wonderful park. There's, of course, the university buildings, because the university is a very important part of Santiago, really.
And it's a living city. I mean, when September, October comes, all the students come and it becomes, and they mix very well in the community. And it's such an accessible city. And yet again, you see the scallop shell everywhere. You look at the backpackers and you'd see this scallop shell. Now, I can't remember, where did the symbol of the way come from?
Well, the scallop, shell was a symbol. It was almost like your Compostela certificate, nearly. That meant that you went to the Atlantic, that you made your pilgrimage
through the Atlantic, yeah.
But it's sort of become to represent as well the different lines that all converge in Santiago.
Of course, the five ways, yes. Yeah. Now, there's lots happening in Dublin. I know I'm looking at my clock here with 2 minutes left, unfortunately.
Well, the 25th of July is St. James's Day. It's a very big day. Many pilgrims want to reach Santiago to celebrate St. James's Day in Santiago. And the CaminoWays.com team is organising a walking festival in County Wicklow. We're not celebrating on the actual day, the 25th. We're celebrating on the 27th, on Sunday. So we're inviting people to come. There is a small charge because there'll be our friends from Food Fiesta will be preparing a giant paella for people to taste. So it's a little bit of cultural, outdoorsy walking event.
Great.
To celebrate St. James in Ireland.
And where does that start from in the Wicklow Mountains?
We're going to be based in Lockdown.
Oh, Lockdown. Beautiful, my favourite part.
Just outside Roundwood. Mm-hmm. So it's very accessible.
Yeah. So all the details are on your website.
All the details are on the website, www.caminoways.com.
And a phone number if you had one?
And the phone number is 01-525-2886.
525-2886. Gotcha. Well, now, our show has come to a close, but there is so, so much to do. I couldn't recommend the experience. It really is. It's your Camino. It is something I will go back again with Tom or with my girlfriends. And as you said, people walk it in stages. We ended up leaving Santiago, taking a bus down to
Pontevedra.
Pontevedra
is a gorgeous city.
And it's right
by
the sea. And it was just lovely to chill out, to relax. So much to see and do. It is a wonderful part of Spain. Yeah. And it's very like Ireland in lots of ways. Yeah.
It is. Yeah. There's a special connection, let's say, between Galicia and Ireland.
As always. So buen camino. And thank you. Muchas gracias for coming into
thank
the studio
for
today,
me,
Maria.
It was wonderful.
My thanks to Aoife O'Brien on sound. She was driving the sound desk today, smiling and dancing to that wonderful Spanish tune. Up next is Bernard Whelan on the road. Until next week, have a very good week and thank you for listening. Let's go on.